Bible open to Psalm 23, and we'll fill a little time till we get some battery recharge, or at least get that thing fixed. I don't know what's going on with it. With technology, you never can tell. We've been going through the 23rd Psalm, and we have looked at some truths from the Psalm, and I don't know that you have heard anything that you haven't already heard before. Sometimes we just need to be reminded, amen? We just need to be reminded. I thought about this as they were singing the song of you could lose everything you have and still be blessed. You know, Job was worshiping God when he had it all. But Job knew how to worship God when he lost it all. I wonder if you do. I wonder if I do. It's a thought that came to my mind, and it's not the first time, because sometimes God will test us to see if we know how to abound or if we know how to suffer loss. Thank you. Thank you, man. Was it the battery or me? Both? Okay. Okay. Every responsibility, blame it on the preacher. All right, Psalm 23. I'm glad that God is our helper, aren't you? I want to talk to you out of Psalm 23 a little bit, and there's a phrase here that's used two times in the first three verses that I feel that God would have me to preach on this morning. And it's about allowing the good shepherd to lead you. You know, as I look at this psalm, there's many things that are obvious. And to me, one of the greatest truths that are obvious in this psalm is that there is a sheep and there's a shepherd, and the sheep is following the shepherd all the way through. All the way through. Starts out in the beginning, and all the way through, the sheep is talking about how the shepherd is leading him. And he's talking about how that he leads him through all these different phases and these areas of life. And you know, that's the way the Lord does us. There's no promise that it's all going to be mountaintop and it's all going to be glory and it's all going to be good. Sometimes God will lead us in the valley low. And sometimes God, as the psalmist said in verse number 5, will lead us right there even in the presence of our enemies. But notice what he said in verse 5, "Thou art with me." He said, in verse number 4, I'm sorry, he said, "Thou art with me. Though you would lead me in these dark places, in these dangerous places, I know that my shepherd's leading me." I want to ask you a question. Is the shepherd leading you? You say, well, God leads all of his children. Well, now, wait a minute. Hold it. That's not the case. God will lead all of his people. But this morning, as you sit under the sound of my voice, there's one of two leading you today. Either you're leading yourself. And the Bible says that we're not to trust our own heart. We're not to lean upon our own understanding. But if we would acknowledge him, then he would direct all of our paths. And so either I'm leading me, or either God is leading me. Either as a sheep, I'm going my own way. And the Bible says that we're prone to wander, aren't we? As sheep, we're prone to wander. Or either I am yielding myself to the leadership of this good shepherd that we've been looking at in the Word of God, and he is leading me. As the songwriter said, "All the way my shepherd leads me. What have I to ask beside? Could I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide?" Is God leading your life? It's not as difficult as we try to make it seem to be. God is leading my life if I allow him to. And God is leading your life if you allow him to. But now if we insist, God will allow us to lead our own life. And there is a way that seemeth right unto man. And so this morning I just want to impress upon your heart, who's leading your life? Notice, if you would, the psalmist said in verse number 2, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." In We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. And then he says this, he leadeth me beside the still waters. In the latter part of verse number 3, he said, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He says, the shepherd is leading me. He's leading my life. And my question that I want to impress upon your heart this morning is, he leading your life? Is God leading you? Have you yielded yourself up to God's leadership? I want you to notice the continuation of these words. He maketh me, in verse number 2. There's a continuation. It's not he makes me. That's something I just do not appreciate about these modern translations. You lose the continuation. You lose the whole of the word. It's not he makes me and he's done. God continues to make me lie down in green pastures. It's not a one and done deal with God. God doesn't bring me to a green pasture and leave me to myself. God will bring me there, and as I feed and as I'm nourished, as I'm rested, there will be other times in my life that God will have to call me aside again and say, now it's time to rest. It's time to lay down again, Dale. It's time. And it's a continuous action. This thing of being led, he leadeth me beside the still waters. That's not a one-time occurrence. He leadeth me, in verse number 4, in the paths of righteousness. That's not a one-time occurrence. Over and again, God has to call me back and lead me and get me in line and say, now listen, are you going to lead your life or are you going to allow me to lead it? How about you? Does God do this for you? Yes, he will. God will check us. And God will call upon us to put ourselves in check and to examine our hearts and to say, who is leading your life? And the question this morning, I believe that every sheep of the shepherd, everyone that's in the fold, we need to truthfully and honestly ask ourselves, really, who is leading my life? Who is leading my life? Am I leading my life? And sometimes we think, well, you know what? This is an easy decision. I'll make this decision. I don't need God's help in this decision. Brethren, I want to submit to you this morning that I need God's help in every decision I make in life, whether I realize I need it or not. I need God's help. I, at best, am faulty. I am, at best, fallible. I will make poor decisions. I will turn in the wrong direction. I will do things that will satisfy my flesh instead of my Savior. And so I need God's help. And I want to submit to you that you do as well. Who's leading your life? As I look at this passage, I was reminded that this shepherd, the psalmist of this shepherd and sheep experience in Psalm 23 was none other than David himself. And there's no doubt, we're going to have to go to that one. Thank you. Now that's on me. We're square. Amen. I believe they've got a remote back there. I tell you that. Okay. Am I going to have to say all that again? Did y'all hear me? Oh, okay. All right. David, no doubt, knew the history of his people. And he knew that God was accustomed to leading his people. If you'll read sometime in Exodus 13, and you've heard, and perhaps you've read more than once, that God led the children of Israel in their journey. The children of Israel were headed to the promised land. And they were in a journey. They were in the process of heading in that way when God said, I'm going to lead you. And I will lead you by day by the pillar of cloud. And I will lead you by night. You can find this in Exodus 13 for sure and other places of Scripture. I will lead you by night by the pillar of fire. By day I'll lead you. By night I'll lead you. I will lead you. And David understood that. And I hope that you understand that. That is God's desire. I think it's the same thing here. If you'll notice, David said in verse number 6, and I've called attention to this many times because that's what this psalm is wrapped around. Brethren, we're on a journey.
And the journey is going to end. The last words of verse number 6 and the last words of this psalm, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can I tell you, if you are one of His sheep, this is where the journey is going to end for you. We're going to God's house forever, amen. Forever. And we're going to be there forever. But before that, if you'll notice in verse number 6, He said, all the days of my life, there's a journey. And the psalmist kind of lays out all the days of our life. Some days there's good and some days they're not. Some days they're on the mountaintop and some days they're in the valley. Some days we're amongst friends and some days we're amongst enemies. But I'm here to tell you that God will lead us every step of the way if we will allow Him to. And as God led the children of Israel by day by the cloudy pillow and the children of Israel by night by the pillar of fire, He will lead your life and He will lead mine by the Good Shepherd if we will allow Him to. He'll lead us. There's three things that I'll draw your attention to about His leadership. His leadership. First of all, the shepherd's place. The shepherd's place. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. Not He follows me. Now, He did say in verse number 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. But when it comes to Him, and we'll see this as we get deeper into this study. When a sheep goes astray, when a sheep is off course, the shepherd, listen, the good shepherd, will never send a keeper to go after the sheep. He will leave the 99 with the keeper. There's too much at stake. There's too much at stake for him to leave the fold to stay with the fold while a keeper goes after that one sheep. No, he will leave that 99 with the keeper and he himself will go after that sheep. There's a reason for that. You see, there's a value on your life and there's a value on my life. You see, the shepherd values every sheep. And sometimes there's an enemy that will try to make you think, well, you're not the valuable sheep. You don't matter. You don't count. You are somehow, you're not qualified. Well, I want to tell you that the shepherd personally came after me. And the shepherd personally came after you. And when we go astray, he will personally come after me. If you'll notice in verse number 3, the first part of that verse says, He restoreth my soul. He. This is about He and me. He maketh me. He leadeth me. He restoreth me. It's about that personal relationship, that personal fellowship. And so we see the place of the shepherd. Where's the place? It's leading. It's leading. I want you to turn just for a moment, and I want to ask you to turn twice today as far as I know. In John chapter number 10, there's a beautiful picture of His leading us. In John 10, would you turn there? John chapter number 10. Now hold your place. We're coming back to Romans. I mean, not to Romans, but to Psalms. In John chapter number 10, notice if you would in verse number 4. In John 10 and verse number 4. Jesus said this in John chapter 10 and verse number 4. He said, and when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them. Aren't you glad for that? You see, when the sheep are in the fold and God says, now it's time, or the shepherd said, now it's time to go on the journey. He doesn't follow them. He doesn't drive them. He leads them. Notice it again what He says in verse number 4. And when He putteth forth His own sheep, they're in the sheepfold. And when He says, now it's time for us to go on a journey, it's time to come out and go on the journey, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. Aren't you glad for that? He goeth before them. There's the story told as we go back to Psalm 23 of an English tour guide in the Holy Lands. And this tour guide was explaining to these people as they were touring the countryside in the Holy Land, and they saw many, many shepherds with folds of sheep, and he was telling them that it's unique here in these parts. No true shepherd will ever drive their sheep. They will always be leading them. Brethren, I am so thankful that the shepherd is always leading me when I allow him to. As they were in transit around in that tour, they looked over to the side and they saw this this person in a shepherd's garb, and he was dressed in the garb of a shepherd, and he was driving the sheep. And someone in the tour spoke up and said, "Hey, Mr. Tour Guy, I thought you said that here in these parts that no shepherd ever drove their sheep." And he said, "They don't." And he looked over and he saw this person in shepherd's garb driving the sheep. And so he actually brought the vehicle that they were all in close to the shepherd. And he said, "Hey, Mr. Shepherd." He called him to himself. And he said, "I've just got through telling these folks here that shepherds in these parts don't drive their sheep." And he stopped and he looked at him and he said, "Did you call me Mr. Shepherd?" He said, "I'm not a shepherd. I'm a butcher." Brethren, it's the truth. When you drive, that's not of God. Listen to me. Sheep are to be led. The shepherd's to be out front. That's where the protection is. That's where the direction is, right? Out front. He said here, the place of the shepherd. I want to give you a couple of things. As the shepherd's place in my life, he takes responsibility for the demands of our life. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter number 9. And as I talk to you about the demands of our life, some of you that are younger in the building today are not going to fully understand what I'm going to say to you, but I pray that you would tuck it away for a day if Jesus doesn't come in the latter year of your life. Life has a way of being very taxing on us. It has a way of gripping us and wearing at us and fraying us. Life has a way of really taking its toll on us. This journey can become very wearisome. "Oh, not for me, preacher." Listen, if you're here and you're over 50 years old, may not even be that old. You've lived long enough to know that life has a way of really, really taking a toll in your life. Am I right, folks? I need all my 50 plus to say amen right there. Man, there's a lot of 50 plus in here. That's good. Way to represent. But you don't have to be 50 plus. You know what? You can be 25. And you understand there's a lot of demands in life. There's a lot of demands that are upon us, that are placed upon us, and they just keep coming. The thing about life is it just keeps coming. Now listen, I'm not complaining. Thank God for that. Thank God for the next day and the next day as God gives us life. Amen, right? Thank God for that. I'm not complaining at all, so please don't take it that way. But what I am saying is the days just keep coming. The responsibilities just keep presenting themselves. The demands of life just keep coming at you and coming at you and coming at you. I submit to you this morning, brethren, I'm not able in myself to cope with that. And the days that I think that I am, I make a fool of myself. I cannot cope with life. I need my shepherd. And I'm glad that my shepherd is there to lead me and to protect me and to provide for me. And if I will stay in the fold and if I will stay in his path, if I will follow him, my shepherd has promised that he'll take care of me. Isaiah chapter number 6. As I was thinking this past week about this passage, "He leadeth me." I'm going to do something, and I want to tell you before I do it so that you won't leave here and say, "Well, the preacher pulled that text out of context." I'm going to remove Isaiah 9:6 out of its prophetic context, and I want to talk to you about it personally today. You see, I'm talking to you this morning, and if you don't get anything else, I pray to God you would get hold of this. I remember the day in my life that this was shared with me, and I mean, I had a lot going on in my life, and I needed a word from God. And God was gracious enough to give me this word. And there may be somebody under the sound of my voice this morning that you say, "Preacher, I know what it is to be taxed by life. And the journey is becoming wearisome. And I just need some help from above. I feel like the demands of life just keep coming and coming and coming. And I need God to show himself strong to me." Look, if you would, in this verse of scripture that's very familiar to we who have been saved for some time. Isaiah 9 verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given." Now watch this next phrase. and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Can I ask you to consider this morning? Could I ask you just for a moment, look right up here at me, look. Could I ask you to do this? Could I ask you to take your government, the demands of your life, and put it on his shoulder? You say, is he capable, preacher? Is he able? I'm here to tell you, he is able. He's capable. And I want you to notice what Isaiah said right here. He said, the government shall be upon his shoulder. Will you let the shepherd shoulder your demands in life? I'm not talking about shirking your responsibility. I'm not talking about shying away from being diligent. I'm talking about letting the Spirit of God, letting the shepherd guide your life. Notice what he said. He said, the government shall be upon his shoulder. You know what happens when you put the government on his shoulder? When you put the government of your life, now please hear me now, on his shoulder. Look at what it says. He said, he shall be called wonderful. Did you wake up this morning saying God is wonderful? If you didn't, he might not be leading you. The government of your life may not be on his shoulder. Because there is an inference here that when the government is on his shoulder, he shall be called wonderful. Amen. You know what that does? Please write it down. Years ago, I came across this. I've written it in my Bible. It takes away the dullness of life. It's hard to say, he's wonderful with dullness. He's wonderful with excitement and enthusiasm. And when I have placed the demands and when I have placed the government of my life on his shoulder, I can get up and I can say, he's wonderful. It takes care of the dullness of my life. Notice the next thing it says in verse number 6. It says, he's wonderful, he's counselor. That takes care of the decisions of my life. I don't need to be making decisions. Herbert Lockyer said this, and I want you to listen. He's a man that I read after. If you don't read after Herbert Lockyer, write that word down. Herbert Lockyer, he is a good author, and he has good truth and principles in his truth. And this is what Herbert Lockyer said. He said, the best of saints do not know what is best for them, because at their best they are fallible. It is not in them to direct their steps aright. Oh, preacher, I can do it. I don't need God's leadership. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. We all need his leadership. His name should be called Wonderful. That takes care of the dullness of life. His name should be called Counselor. How often have I drawn from the counsel of him that is leading me? Can you testify to that this morning? That there's been times I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what decision to make. And I placed that government, I placed that demand on his shoulder, and he helped me make the right decision. Look at the next thing he said, the mighty God. The mighty God. This takes care of the demands of life. It doesn't matter what comes your way. You say, preacher, I'm in a hard place. Preacher, there's a hard situation. There's a tough decision. There's all of these things that are coming at me, and I don't know what to do. Can I tell you that the shepherd that you follow, the shepherd that we have, is a mighty God. There's nothing that he cannot do, brethren. And so if we would just put the government upon his shoulder, the government of my life. See, I'm trying to shoulder my life. And if I'm not careful, I'll get out of the harness. I'll get out of the yoke. And I'll go my way instead of letting him lead me and guide me. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. You see. Then he said this, the everlasting Father. That takes care of the dimensions of life. Doesn't matter if you're going through something, the devil's trying to bring up your past, the everlasting Father's taking care of that. It doesn't matter if you're going through something today, the everlasting Father's here to take care of that. If you're going to go through something in the future and you're worrying about something that could happen, listen, it's wrong, but I will tell you this, the everlasting Father can take care of that. He's the everlasting Father. And then finally, notice if you would, the Prince of Peace. That takes care of the disturbances of my life. So, wonderful takes care of the dullness. Counselor, the decisions. Mighty God, the demands. Everlasting Father, the dimensions. And Prince of Peace, the disturbances. You see, when I let him lead my life, if I will put the government of my life on his shoulder, this is what my shepherd will do for me. Are you allowing the shepherd to do that for you? How often have I took my life back? I've took my decisions back, right? Yes. So the path of the shepherd, or the place of the shepherd, the place of the shepherd. I pray that you would allow God to lead you, the shepherd to lead you. I'll give you one verse of scripture and we'll move on. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is a very familiar passage of scripture. It says that we're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. That is so easy to quote. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is probably some of the easiest verses that I've ever memorized. There's just a flow about it, you know? I remember the very first time that I began to memorize Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I was at a meeting. Sharon and I hadn't been saved probably 4 months, maybe six at the most. And the church that we were attending had Dr. Jack Hiles preaching, and he preached the message out of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and he had a little lingo, a little song that he would sing Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 to. And it just got caught in my head. And it made it so easy. There's just the way that it just kind of flows. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. That just sounds so simple. But how often that we just lean upon our own understanding? And we just think, I can do this. You know, I'll get God involved on the big decisions. I'll get God involved on the big matters. When what we're to do is to let God lead us in all matters. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. What? In all of thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Who's leading your life? Who's leading you? Is God leading your life? Is the shepherd? Is he leading my life? Or is he just there if I need him in a crisis? I'm not being mean. I'm not trying to throw guilt. I'm asking honest questions. Who's leading your life? Who's leading our lives as believers? The place of the shepherd is the place of leadership. That's not the place of the sheep. Sheep are prone to wander. Sheep go astray. As a matter of fact, one of the things that we'll study when we get on down deeper into the psalm as we turn back from Isaiah to Psalm 23, we'll look at how that when one of the sheep began to lead the others astray, the shepherd in love and kindness will have to break the legs of that sheep to prevent that sheep from leading the rest of the fold into the wrong direction. The place of the shepherd. Then number two, the purpose of the shepherd. As I look at this psalm, I see still waters and green pastures and paths of righteousness. We'll never reach those places without the shepherd leading us. The desire is not in our heart to be there. That's why we have to be led there. Is that right? Yeah. Hey, I want to share something with you about the purpose. Now, there's two purposes that God wants to lead my life. Now, I know it's a little warm in here. There's something wrong with the air conditioning. And so if you get sleepy, just go to sleep. And if that person next to you is already asleep, just tell them, sleep on. Sleep on. Or wake them up and say, could you not even you watch 1 hour and pray? If I were the devil, and some of you probably think I am, but I'm not, I'd want to put you to sleep during this message too. Because there's no way I'd want you to understand that you will never reach God's fullest potential until he's leading your life.
Amen, bro.
I don't mean 50% of the time. I don't mean 75% of the time. 100% of the time, God needs to be leading our lives. But our problem is we don't want the still clear water. We want to drink out of those old mud holes every now and then. That's why we're not thirsty for that clear, clean water. We like to eat out of that old rotten field instead of the green pastures provided for by the shepherd. Purpose of a lot of people's not being led of the shepherd is They like where leading their self takes them and what it brings them. And I don't say that in an indicting way. I say it in a way that I want you to be on guard. You see, there's an enemy that wants to have me to believe and have you to believe, well, if you let the shepherd lead you, well, you won't be happy. I want you to sometime look around the church, and I'll tell you the people that are happy, only those that are allowing the shepherd to lead them. You see, the devil has slipped lies into people's minds and hearts and saying, you're unhappy because you're letting that shepherd lead you. Now, you're unhappy because you're leading you. When you stop leading yourself and you place your government on his shoulders and you allow him to lead you, then you will know what it is to be happy in Jesus. Jesus, blessed Jesus, lead the way for me will be your cry. But until then, the old enemy will try to have you not to follow the leadership of the shepherd. And he'll try to have you to stop off with those old muddy water hose and drink of that old filthy, polluted, parasite-filled water hose that'll do great damage to the health of the sheep and the production of the wool and the pureness of the milk. It'll make that sheep half of what it could be. It's very, very important who leads you. It's very, very important who's leading me. And so as we looked at the place of the shepherd, now I want you to think about this, the purpose. Why does God want to lead our lives? Well, the first thing, you can't read this psalm without seeing God says, David, I want what's the very best for you. I'm going to lead you in some places, and though there'll be times that you don't understand, I'm here to tell you that I've been following the shepherd long enough to know that there I found myself in places that the shepherd led me. That the shepherd led me, and I said, I don't understand what's going on here. I don't think I signed up for this. I thought it was going to be all good and glory. I didn't know there was going to be hardships and valleys and dark places and loneliness. I didn't know there was going to be all this. And then I would hear the sweet voice of that good shepherd whisper down in the recesses of my soul and say to me, I have you here to teach you a lesson, my son, that you cannot learn on the mountaintop, that you will not learn in opportunity. You need adversity to learn this lesson. And I have you here because I love you. We've all questioned the leadership of the shepherd before. We've all, as sheep, questioned his leadership. But what one of us could stand and indict our good shepherd and say, preacher, church of God, I want to tell you that the shepherd has led me astray. No! The only time I've ever gone astray is when I got out from under the leadership of the shepherd. Amen. Amen. Even when I thought I was in a good place, out from under the leadership of the shepherd, I found out later that was not the best place for me. We need the shepherd to lead us. And he will if we'll allow him to. And the purpose, write it down, two of them. Number one, for our good. You can't read this psalm. You can't read it. Gonna make you lie down in green pastures. Why? It's good for you. Gonna lead you beside the still waters. Why? It's good for you. I'm going to lead you in the paths of righteousness. Why? It's good for you. And I may take you through the valley of the shadow of death. Why? It's good for you. Because there you'll realize I'm with you. Like maybe you couldn't when you're on the mountaintop. I'm going to prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Why? It's good for you. It's good for you to know that you don't have to fight your battles. I'll take care of them if you'll allow me. See, it's for our good. God has our best interests in mind, doesn't he, sheep? Amen. Sheep, do you know what I'm speaking of this morning? I pray that you do. Who's leading your life? Who's leading our life? The shepherd's purpose. The shepherd's purpose. It's not only for our good, but it's for his glory. Look at verse number 3. The last part of verse number 3. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. What's that next phrase there? For his name's sake. Yeah, he's doing it for my good. Those still waters are for my good. Those green pastures are for my good. But there's another reason that God's leading me. There's another reason that God wants to lead your life. It's for his name's sake. I told you earlier that a shepherd will never send a keeper after the lone sheep. He'll get the keeper to stay with the fold while he goes after the lone sheep. Why? Because his name's at stake. His name's at stake. Can I tell you the reason God wants to lead your life, the reason God wants to lead my life? I'm a Christian. Study the word. It means little Christ. It means followers of Jesus. We're Christians, brethren. We're Christians. We represent Him. We represent Him. His name is at stake. And so He wants to lead us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. It's important to God how we are led and what we do and how we live and how we present ourselves to a lost and dying world. Amen. It's important. So the place of the shepherd, the purpose of the shepherd, and I'll close with this, the path of the shepherd. What are the paths, preacher? Well, the paths are very easy. He leadeth me, in verse number 2, beside the still waters. That speaks of calm and peace. You know, I found out something about sheep many years ago. Sheep will not drink out of running streams. Now, some of it's because of their physical constitution. You can read about this. It's very interesting. And some of it's because they're very skittish animals. Sheep are defenseless. They're directionless. They just have no sense of direction. They're defenseless. You know, God has given animals all kinds of defense mechanisms and protective mechanisms. It's very, very interesting to study this. Could you imagine a sheep when a bear comes thundering toward them, rearing up on its back legs and going, "Bah!" Or taking its hoof. You know what? Well, I tell you right now, if that was a tiger with his paw, that'd back something off. Right? If that was a lion with its claw, a tiger, if it was a cheetah, could outrun. See, some animals have defensive claws, some teeth in the dog family, the wolves and the jackals. And some have speed, like the cheetah. And some even have strength, like the bear, the elephant. Some animals have sounds that they make to ward off predators. Some even have smells. But the sheep have the shepherd. Amen. The sheep have the shepherd. Aren't you glad for the peace that the good shepherd gives? He leadeth me beside the still waters. Can I ask you a question? Do you know something about God's peace? You spend up nights, stay up nights just worrying and fretting over things. You find yourself just what ifing everything to death. Well, what if this, or what if this, or what if that? We talked about it a few weeks back. You can either live a worried filled life or a worried free. It's your choice. I can too. It just depends on who you want to follow. And then he said, "I'm going to lead you in the paths of righteousness for my name's sake." You know, if you're not careful, you'll read that is, "I'm going to make life strict and I'm going to make it uncomfortable." Because a lot of people think that's what the path of righteousness is. For the Christian, there's two things that we need to be concerned about when it comes to righteousness. And I want you to hear this, and I'm going to tell you how to follow the shepherd, and I'll be done. There's positional righteousness. When you get saved, positionally, you're in Christ. Positionally, you are in the fold. You are under the shepherd. Positionally. You understand that? If you've ever trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, positionally, your position is you're in the fold. And that's one righteousness, but there's another righteousness. It's called practical. Practical righteousness. Positional righteousness has everything to do with Jesus' cross, the cross He bore. Practical righteousness has everything to do with my cross. Am I going to take up my cross? Am I going to deny myself and follow Him? Am I going to let Him lead me? Am I going to practice what is right? Did you know that when I practice what is right, I'm the happiest? I'm at peace with myself when I practice what is right. I wrestle on the inside when I'm not practicing what is right. I'm unsure of myself. I'm unsure of other things when I'm not practicing what is right. There's no assurance. There's no confidence when we do not practice what is right. But when we practice what is right as we are led of the shepherd, it brings health and happiness and holiness to our lives. Well, preacher, how do you do it? How do you follow the shepherd? Well, number one, you ask. When you got up today, did you ask God to lead you? Did you? We ought to get up every day with a prayer very similar to this. Lord, I don't want to lead my life. If I lead my life, I'm going to end up in some things I shouldn't be into. I'm just not capable. But I am capable of following. Would you lead me today, Lord? I yield myself the best I know how. I yield all of me to all of you. Would you lead my life? You have to ask. You say, well, what happens if you ask? Well, what did God say? You receive. Ask him for his leadership, and if you're sincere, he'll lead you. Amen, church? Amen. Number two, read and then heed. You want to follow him? Follow his word. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Read it and then heed it. We don't read it just to have more knowledge. We read it so we can know the steps that we need to take. You say, wait a minute, I was looking for something really like complex. Can you throw a little, I don't know, calculus in here or something to make this hard? God doesn't want to make it hard for us sheep to follow the shepherd. Is that right? Read and heed. Ask and receive. And then listen and obey. If we will do that, we can follow the shepherd. Now, every now and then, we'll take a right turn when he says turn left. And then he'll go. Get back in line. That's when you listen and obey. Let's stand to our feet. I wonder when was the last time God on your wrist and said, Did you listen? Did you obey? I hope that you did. Who's leading your life? Who's leading your life? You say, preacher, that's elementary. It's so elementary that a high number of folks who profess to be saved are not doing it. I think we get more concerned about what's hard and what's easy versus what's right and what's wrong. Doesn't have to be hard to be right. God wants us to follow him. The shepherd's out front. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. Is he leading you? Would you bow your heads with me just for a moment? Just a moment, I'm going to ask the pianist to play. There's a song that is sung by many Baptist churches. We certainly sing it here. It was written by a pastor by the name of Joseph Gilmore. He was preaching through the 23rd Psalm in Philadelphia at the First Baptist Church. And when he got to the third verse there, the last part of verse 2, he leadeth me beside the still waters. And then in verse number 3, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He went home and he began to pin down some words. And it goes like this. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me. He leadeth me by His own hand. He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be. For by His hand He leadeth me. Is God leading you? As we bow our heads and close our eyes, I pray that you would allow God to speak to your heart. Would you commit in your heart right now to allow the Lord to lead you? He's your shepherd. He wants to lead your life.